This week, on a special episode of WebMD's Health Discovered podcast, we're taking a closer look at a common form of lung cancer that accounts for 85% of all cases.
When I first heard the words, "you have lung cancer," I was in shock.
It's a diagnosis that changes everything. So what does it really mean to advocate for yourself when you're living with non-small cell lung cancer? Listen to Health Discovered on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Introducing Home Care Plus, a new subscription service from Lowe's that helps make life easier by giving members a hand with home maintenance. Let Lowe's tackle the tasks you keep meaning to do, like electric dryer vent cleaning, replacing hard-to-reach light bulbs, and more. Subscribe to Home Care Plus for just $99 a year and consider your to-do list done. Members get more at Lowe's. Available in select zip codes only. Cancel anytime. Non-refundable fee. Product purchase required. Terms and service restrictions apply. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Hi, it's Tony.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Boto Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Brisky from Real Ghost Stories Online, inviting you to subscribe to our other podcast called The Grave Talks. It's where I sit down and interview individuals who've had extreme paranormal situations happen to them in their lives. Just search The Grave Talks on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you download podcasts. Be sure to press subscribe and give us some stars to help spread the word that this show exists. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of The Grave Talks. Today on The Grave Talks, living with ghosts. Kevin Killen wrote in to me, "I'm a well-educated person and want to let people know they don't have to be afraid anymore. Encounters such as these happen." And it's true. The stigma of being haunted by something paranormal no longer has to be looked down upon or ruled that the person is crazy. On today's episode of The Grave Talks, we talk with Kevin about his very haunted life. From unexplained knocking late at night to a dark entity attaching itself to him and almost changing his personality. We also discuss the dark entities that he encounters to this day, looking around the substance abuse treatment facility that he works in. Is this the story of a man drawn to the paranormal, or possibly the paranormal being drawn to him?
My first encounter that actually kicked all of this stuff off was I was about 5 years old living in Evanston, Illinois. Excuse me. We lived in a really big old house, and my father at the time was a journalist, so he used to go out of town a lot. So he took my other brothers to, I believe it was St. Louis, for a basketball tournament or something. So it was just me and my mother. And we had the downstairs, and we were sitting there in the living room, and we heard footsteps upstairs. And we had, you know, the old wooden hallway and around by the bedrooms. And I turned to my mother, and I remember saying, "Who's that?" And my mother telling me, "Oh, that's just my little boy." And the reason she told me much later that that was the only thing she could think of so she wouldn't scare me. She was scared to death that somebody broke in the house. But she had told me that. And, of course, you know, my little five-year-old mind, okay, well, I'll accept that because I don't know what that meant. But, yeah, so that was my very first experience. And it was so distinct that I actually started the book with that.
So you had this experience of these footsteps. Your mom refers to it as "my little boy." Is that almost like referring to, like, "Hey, there's a brother you have up there that you don't know about"?
Well, see, the thing with that, I found out later, my mother had a miscarriage in the house.
Sure.
And I didn't know that. So maybe that's, you know, and actually some of the things that I've studied and learned later on is that, you know, some people do believe that they still have a soul. So they never move on. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was kind of interesting because I didn't know that at the time. So, I was supposed to have a brother or a sister after that. But sure. I don't know. She just said that she just did that because it was she couldn't think of anything to not scare me and figured that would do it.
Sure. And as an adult, that's probably the first thing that comes to one's mind is that's what she's referring to. But as a 5-year-old, probably not the first thing that's going through your mind. Did you press her any further? Just kind of accept that's what it was? Or how did things progress in that house?
Yeah, I kind of accepted that. But there were a few more things later on. There was upstairs where we heard the footsteps. There was a little black footprint. And we could my mother could never get it out. I don't know what it was, but it looked like shoe polish of some sort. But it was too small for anybody in the house. Mm-hmm. So I just remember seeing like little black toes all the time and wondering, well, what the hell is this? You know, because my mother scrubbed it. It never came out. So it was just that was kind of weird. And I had a dream once before we moved that all my stuffed animals walked down the stairs into like the living room area. So mm-hmm. that, you know, I don't know what that meant, if anything, but that was just kind of weird as a little kid remembering. I still remember it vividly that the animals came, you know, walking down the stairs. So,
which could have easily just been a childhood dream. We all have bizarre dreams that don't necessarily link into the paranormal. But when you have paranormal things going on around you, you're a little more sensitive to practically anything that enters your mindscape of the odd or the somewhat paranormal. As you continued to grow up in this house and these occurrences would happen, and as you got older, did your parents ever talk with you, or did you ever talk with them about these odd things that were going on beyond that initial conversation where your mom said it was her little boy?
I tried later on in life. We actually moved from Chicago to Virginia a year or two later from that incident. And we had some things going on in the other house in Virginia. And I tried to tell my mother was very, I don't know what the word was, but quite vague. She was very vague about these things. And I think, honestly, looking back on things that happened, looking back on the book and everything, I think what had happened with her, she knew more. But she wasn't willing to let on that she knew more. So mm-hmm. she was quite vague throughout my lifetime until she passed that, you know, there were things that went on. I never had a good feeling, that kind of thing. But she never elaborated on it.
So it literally, pardon the pun, but it went to her with her grave as far as what exactly she understood or knew of what was going on with the house. When you move from house to house, did the activity continue?
It did, not as much in the beginning. Excuse me, I moved to Falls Church, Virginia, from Evanston in 76, I believe it was. So there was just little things. And I think a lot of those could be attributed early on to just being a kid, you know, because you're, you know, 8, 9 years old and, you know, everything. And at that time, I used to love going to the library and reading anything on paranormal stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, vampires, ghosts, whatever the case may be. So it may have been, you know, just my little mind just getting a little overworked and overstimulated. And back then, I don't know if you probably remember this, Tony, because I think we're fairly close in age. They showed The Exorcist on TV. Mm-hmm. So I actually saw that like in fourth grade. I mean, of course, it was like a local station. They cut a lot of stuff. Sure. But even still, I got the gist of it.
Yeah.
Something I shouldn't have been watching. So that could have been some of it, but the activity did increase as I got older in that house.
As it increased and as you got older and more aware of the concept of ghosts, of what it was all about, were you full on accepting and believing that you are, in fact, encountering paranormal activity, or were you trying to debunk it? What was going through your mind?
I was just kind of really just like, what is this mm-hmm. kind of thing? And like I said, I'm still a huge fan of Hans Holzer's books. So I'd gotten a lot of his books growing up and found him to be fascinating as a writer and everything. And some of the things wondering, you know, hey, is this what's going on here? And then trying to figure out, because again, you try to rationalize this stuff. And the first thing that always comes to your mind is, am I crazy? And I still do that to this day, because it's just sometimes some of this stuff comes out of left field and you're like, okay, maybe I didn't hear that or see that or whatever the case may be. So, yeah, I was kind of rationalizing it, trying to figure it all out. Like, okay, I know I'm the only one in this room, but why am I hearing footsteps? Mm-hmm. You know, that kind of thing.
You're saying things amped up as you got a bit older into those teen years in that house. How so?
My middle school and high school years were very difficult due to the fact that there was a lot of alcoholism and there was drug abuse in the house. And so there was a lot of negative energy. Looking back on it now and studying everything there, that house was very sad. I remember it being very sad. And just even when it was sunny, it was very sad. So I think that had a lot to do with it. But in 87, 88, when I was in high school, my father took a job at the newspaper in Japan. So he moved to Japan by himself. So my mother didn't want to stay in the master bedroom. So she went and slept on the couch downstairs and gave me the master bedroom upstairs. So it was almost like a nightly ritual that I would hear footsteps in that room, like just kind of walking up to the bed and saying, look, I could tell in my mind's eye that I could see these things. And they just kind of walk away. But it would be like an every night thing.
Mm-hmm. What's going through your mind at this point when you're having these the footsteps going through and obviously kind of an odd setup there where you're in what would be your parents' bedroom. Your dad goes to Japan for a job. It all just seems rather, you know, I mean, out of whack to a certain extent.
Yeah, it really does. It was just I was terrified, yeah. You know, at the beginning, because you could honestly, like, because the way the setup was is, you know, the bed was I guess if you're in like a standard bedroom, it was about 4 or 5 feet from the door.
Mm-hmm.
So if I turned over on my left side, it would, like, I could hear it walking up to me. So I never wanted to turn around because I was like, I don't think I want to see whatever this might be.
Mm-hmm.
But I could always hear that, and I'd always wake up thinking, what the hell was that, you know? And we had a little crawl space in there too, but I never helped because that's where we, you know, kept like pictures and various things like that, and those are always creepy no matter what. But I was just like I don't know what this thing was, but it happened pretty much every night until I moved out of the house in the 90s.
Did you do any digging into this to try and figure out what was going on in this house?
Yeah, I did. I found out that there had only been like three owners. It was only about a 40-year-old house, as far as I could find, that no one died in it. And most of our relatives that had either never visited the house or were scattered across the country, so it, you know, nobody that I knew would actually physically died in the house. And again, like, our relatives were all over, so I'm trying to think, okay, maybe this is grandma, but is it really? Because I don't know, because I could never find that out.
Mm-hmm. Just a mystery to you. So eventually you move out of the house and you begin your life as an adult and with a fascination for the paranormal. What ensues there?
Yes. Actually, let me go back right before I moved out of the house, because this is one of the most profound effects that I think led me down this path to trying to figure out what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Back in 94, spring of 94, you have to understand, with my brother and their friends and my mother and my friends, we always had, it was a kind of like Grand Central Station. So there was so much energy in that house that there was people coming in and out constantly. We just never seemed to be alone, so to speak. So I had actually moved in with a friend of mine that lived a couple streets over, just to kind of get some peace of mind and everything. So, but I'd gotten into the EVPs a little bit and tried to get some EVPs, and that didn't work. I had actually gone to a local church cemetery and did my thing, and then that failed miserably because I guess it was just whatever wasn't time. But I decided, okay, there's nobody in the house right now, so I'm going to do an EVP session here. And I had one of those, I don't know if you remember them, back in the 80s, early 90s, they had there was the big boom boxes with the
sure
the dual cassettes and the speakers that came unattached.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so I just said, okay. So I hit the record button and I said, if anybody's in here, please show me, and let the tape run. And I went over to my friend's house for about an hour and a half. So when I came back, I rewound the tape. And for the most part, there was nothing there but white noise. And I was like, okay, that's kind of what I expected. I said, geez, I didn't get anything. So about the last minute, minute and a half, 2 minutes, I hear a pounding on the radio, like someone's hitting it. And I'm like, what the hell is this? There's nobody in this house. So it continues, and I got a lot of loud whistles and beeps, and I was like, still, I don't know what that is. Then at the very end, it was like if somebody had slowed it down, the tape all the way down, the voice came out and said, I have shown you, ha ha. And I fell out of my chair, about had a heart attack, and I was scared shitless, pardon my French.
But sure.
That really, I don't know what the hell, but whatever it was answered my question. And that's really what, after I got calmed down, of course, everybody thought I was crazy or on drugs, mm-hmm. that I told this to. But after that, that's really kind of what got me in motion here. Like, okay, what was that? Who was that? That did happen to me. I'm not crazy. I did hear this voice. So...
I got you. I showed you. I'm assuming it's almost referring to, hey, it showed itself to you, and that's what it's referencing in what it was saying. What did that effect, what sort of effect did that have on you in terms of wanting to do more EVP sessions or trying to reach out to the dead in some way, shape, or form going forward after that?
Well, quite honestly, that really kind of put it on a shelf for me, because that's frightened me so much, because I didn't understand what this could be, that I didn't do another EVP session for about 7 years. Mm-hmm. But in that time, I continually, was still interested in the paranormal and finding out what was what. So I did continue to, love a good ghost story and talk to people and this and that. But yeah, I didn't do EVPs for a long time because I wasn't sure what that was. And that really scared the hell out of me.
I hope you enjoyed your 15-minute preview of our new podcast, The Grave Talks. Be sure to subscribe to it on Apple Podcasts or wherever you download podcasts to not miss any episode of the show. New episodes every single Monday. Just search for The Grave Talks and then press subscribe. Give us a review while you're at it and some stars that will help us grow in the rankings and let other folks know that the show exists to make an even better show for you. The Grave Talks. Check it out at thegravetalks.com.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are,
and that's who we care about.
Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA. Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited. Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino's a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino. Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA. Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited. Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.